This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 1561. Neil's tips for using news language in everyday English.
Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 200 million times. We believe in connection, not perfection, with your American host, Aubrey Carter, and today's featured guest, coming to you from Arizona, USA. And to get real-time transcripts right on your phone and create your personalized vocabulary list, try our iOS app. Start your 7-day free trial at allearsenglish.com/bonuses.
Today, Neil Edgeler from BBC Learning English joins us to share his expertise teaching English through the news. Listen in for his advice on using language in the news in your everyday English.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast and welcome to our special guest, Neil. Can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Neil and I work for BBC Learning English, which, as you may know, provides English language teaching programs, videos, materials, online materials for our large audience of international learners of English.
Yes, some of you may recognize Neil's voice if you listen to some of the podcasts he regularly presents on The English We Speak, 6-Minute English, and News Review. So you may follow those, you may listen to those, and so his voice will sound very familiar, which is fun to have you here at All Ears English with us. Thank you for joining us today.
It's lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I'm excited because I feel like you have some great advice for our listeners, especially when it comes to learning English vocabulary through the news. When you're reading news articles and watching things on the news and then finding vocabulary out of that and using it in your everyday English. So I'm hopeful that you can give us some great tips so that our listeners can listen to you there and also start learning more English as they read the news.
Yeah, that's something we're really keen on at BBC Learning English is to, you know, obviously we are the BBC, so we have access to a lot of news material, which and interviews with people as well. And we really like to exploit that and to take advantage of authentic English as it's really used by people when they're really speaking, rather than maybe some of the more contrived examples that you might get in certain textbooks or classrooms or whatever, not wanting to criticize anyone.
But no, but that's exactly right, right? If you're looking at it, especially an older textbook, it's scripted conversations that aren't the way we speak anymore. So when you're using as your material the news and the way we actually speak today, it's so much more valuable.
Yeah, and that's what we try to do. So in the 6-Minute English podcast that you've already mentioned, we take interesting clips of interviews from people who've appeared usually on BBC radio programs, and we construct a program around that, and we try and explain how that language has been used in that particular context, and you know what its register is, whether it's formal, informal, and how it's used. When we do news review, which is based on headlines from newspapers, that's a slightly different thing because, as we know, newspaper headlines are not particularly natural English, but they are something that learners will be exposed to quite often. And so it's important that we understand how we can take that language from an authentic context, but then have the knowledge to be able to use it in our real everyday English.
Yes, exactly. All right. I'm excited to get into this. I know our listeners, whether they have listened to your podcast in the past or not, or will start now, I know they're going to be excited about this because everyone wants to stay up on current events. You want to know what's happening in the news, but you're not getting that much out of it if you're just, you know, reading an article to find out what's happening. Whereas if you're reading it in your second language or a third language, you're killing two birds with one stone because you're also improving your English, in this case, learning great vocabulary. But then the trick is to apply it and use it in your everyday English, as you guys say. So I'm really excited to get some of these tips for that. So let's get into it. Can you share with us sort of the first tip that you would share with our listeners?
Yeah, so I think it's important to know when you read a headline or you see a story, not just what the word means. You know, there's a lot to what something means rather than what you just find in a dictionary. And what we try to do in News Review is to give that context to discuss what, to use jargon, collocations that there are. So which words go together around that particular word or expression, how formal it is, how appropriate it is in certain situations, how common it is. You know, there are words that are used in headlines which we'd never say. You know, I'm trying to think of an example now, but there's a certain, here's a term for the listeners, journalese, a type of journalistic language which is used in headlines, but which isn't really the way that we speak. So you might see in a British sort of tabloid newspaper, perhaps, that somebody slammed someone, meaning criticized heavily. Now, we would never say that, but you see that kind of language all the time. And so it's important to know, I think, as a learner, what you can use, what's natural.
Do we really say this? Right.
Do we really say it? What does that stand for? Why is it used? You know, often it's because the headline is short and the headline writers need to get all of that information into a short space.
I can think of a great example in your most recent News Review podcast about Harry and Meghan's interview. And you talked about the word salvo. And it's a really good point that, okay, do we actually use this? And what's the context? And because it's true, as a native speaker, we, you know, we sort of know intuitively. And when we're learning a second, third language, we need to learn that. We need to know how do natives really use this? I want to sound native. I want to sound natural. And so we need to know that context and the collocations.
It is a true connection skill to be able to mirror someone's enthusiasm in English. But to be able to do it, you need the right vocabulary and strategies. Lindsay and I show you how to do it in an episode coming up soon, which you don't want to miss. So make sure you hit follow on All Ears English. Just hit the follow button wherever you like to listen and we'll drop right into your listening queue.
Yeah. And what really strikes me every time, really, that I do News Review, and I've been doing it for a long time now.
How long have you been doing it, can I ask?
Well, probably about 5 years now, News Review, that particular program.
Nice.
But what really strikes me about the language that we cover is that how much figurative language there is used. So like salvo, I've forgotten what the other, there was another, a bombshell.
Bombshell.
In that. You know, there's so much figurative language. They were, and it was all kind of military in that particular program. So what I would say to learners is that you might think you know what a bombshell is or a salvo is because it might be similar, especially if it's a Latin language with, you know, which cognates.
Right.
You may think that you know it, but it's always worth watching these types of programs and listening to what we have to say, because we try to explain some of the nuances and how it's often used figuratively. Of, you know, the example was a bombshell announcement, I think. Now, obviously, it's not, there's no real bomb. Nothing is really exploding. But in a figurative sense, it was a very destructive interview that was given. And this happens week in, week out, the amount of figurative language that is there. And I'm sure it's the same in all languages, but it's something that will really help you broaden your vocabulary to have that knowledge.
Yes, definitely. And if you listeners out there aren't aware of the word salvo, because that is pretty new, you can check out this last episode of News Review. It means a sudden multiple releases of something. And it is interesting when it's used to talk about something other than like a military, you know, salvo of bullets, because there is that intonation of something sort of militaristic, right? Mm. So yeah, it's interesting, all of that deeper context, some of the hidden meaning that is used in headlines and in the news sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what would be the second tip that you would share with us?
Second tip would be to really immerse yourself, expose yourself to as much content, articles, videos as you can. I know it's not always easy. People are busy. They only have a limited amount of time for study, but it really pays off if you can spare that time to immerse yourself, to talk figuratively again, excuse me, to immerse yourself in English content, but yes. By which I mean films, TV, radio, podcasts, and the kind of stuff that we produce, then you're going to get better just from that exposure and then trying to use it.
Yes, we're so lucky to have the internet and so much film and TV and things at our fingertips that when I first started learning a second language, my option was to go to the library and find mm-hmm. books in French and Spanish and maybe a DVD in mm-hmm. Spanish. Now there's so much that it's true that our only limit is our time and carving out mm-hmm. that time. And then making sure, you know, are you going to watch that in your first language or mm-hmm. challenge yourself and mm-hmm. try to listen to or watch something in your second language? And you're right, mm-hmm. when you immerse yourself, just like when you're living in a country that speaks that language as their first language, that is when real learning happens and you start progressing mm-hmm. so fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. What about a third tip?
I would say be kind to yourself as a learner, because it's really... Everybody knows it's really, really frustrating and hard learning a language. And I think we need to be honest with ourselves about that. You know, it's a long, slow process. And no matter what catchy advertising you might see around language learning, you have to, at some stage, you have to study, and it takes a while, but it is so rewarding. So if you're having a hard time and you're thinking you're getting nowhere, don't give yourself a hard time, because if you keep at it, you will improve.
I love that advice. Yes, be kind to yourself, because it is difficult and it's so easy to get discouraged. And then it's easy to sort of stop trying. But if you can be kind to yourself and recognize the little steps that you're making, recognize the improvement instead of focusing on the difficult things, then you'll keep trying, you'll keep progressing. And that's the goal, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What about you, Neil? Do you speak any other languages?
I have attempted to master several languages, but I've never really got that proficient.
Dabbled,
let's say.
Dabbled at several.
No, you know, I've studied Spanish. I studied some Czech language. I worked in the Czech Republic. I worked in Japan. So I the places that I've been, I've tried to do as well as I can. And it's really rewarding, isn't it? When you get to a stage where you can have a conversation with someone, you feel proud of yourself, and you should.
Yes, that's exactly right. I've started using the app Clubhouse for language practice, because they have these rooms where you can practice languages. And I'm loving it, because I don't have that many opportunities to practice French or Spanish speaking in my mm-hmm. daily life, other than myself in the mirror, which is also helpful. But it's
that's a decent technique.
Yes, I know. It's not bad, right? We improve for sure. Yeah. But to get to that place where you can actually have this conversation with another person in that language is so rewarding. Like you said, you're able to make those connections. We say this all the time here at Allers English. That's our motto, is connection, not perfection. And mm-hmm. that is the goal, to make that connection with another person in another language. It's so exciting.
Yeah. And ultimately, what is the aim of speaking a language? It's to communicate, isn't it? And if you make some mistakes while you're doing that, but people understand what you're saying, then that's okay.
That's okay, right? That's the goal. You're making that connection. I love it. Exactly. Did you, when you were in these other countries, were you working as a journalist at the time? Or was that before you got into broadcast journalism?
No, I was teaching English.
Oh, nice.
And then I went into journalism. And now what I do kind of combines the two.
Yes, right? It's a perfect marriage of both. I love it.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This was so interesting. I am very excited for our listeners to check out your podcast, all of the podcasts at BBC Learning English, but especially those that you present on, of course.
Yes,
can you share
you
where can our listeners find your podcast and the information about BBC Learning English?
Yeah, sure. So we have a website, bbclearningenglish.com. We also have a free app, which you can find on the Apple Store and on Google Play. We have podcasts that you can get from all the usual places. And we are all over social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. BBC Learning English. If you search for us, you'll find us.
Yes, and I noticed you have like quizzes and activities as well about the podcast on News Review, which there's so much value to that, to be able to have a check for understanding. Like, now I've learned this, let me quiz myself, do an activity, and then move on and apply it in your everyday English, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's important, as we know, to test yourself on what you've learned, and also to revisit it fairly soon after you've learned or you've attempted to learn. As we know, you've got to come back to it, you've got to revisit it, you've got to revise, because then it'll start to stick.
Exactly, right? If you forget it after, just stop using it after a couple of days, it doesn't stick. You won't be able to use it in a natural conversation and have it come up. So it does take that practice, right? Being really aware of, having it in the same place where you can review it, revisit it, like you said, and then intentionally use it in conversation so that it becomes a part of your natural vocabulary.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much again for joining us. This has been really fun. And your listeners can hear more of Neil's wonderful British accent and wonderful voice on his podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Look forward to you joining us.
Yes, definitely. Have a great day. Bye.
Thanks for listening to All Ears English. Would you like to know your English level? Take our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/fluency score. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.